There we go. Paul, what's going on?
Living a dream right now.
Yeah. That beard is coming in nicely.
Thank you. Yep.
The face warmer.
Yep.
Dan is the standard that we all aspire to achieve.
Got a few grays in. I've got a bit of pepper in mine at the moment. It's all the stress you put me under, Max, I think.
Man, I'm younger than you are, and my peppers are coming in. Yeah. All right, who do we got here? So we got Coach Dan, Mike, Dale, Thompson, Paul, John. Awesome. Let's double check one more time here. See if anyone's lagging. All right, it's all good. We can get started. So, similar to last week, boys, I'm going to just go through a couple things here before passing it over to Coach Dan. And the part that probably will be most exciting for you guys will be the muscle cam part, I anticipate. So, we're going to get to that here in 2 seconds. All right. So Coach Dan's going to be presenting on the mindset framework to fix your health, wealth, family, and future. Some key takeaways tonight that you guys will walk away with will be A, how to use the 16-hour audit effectively, and then B, how to overcome the dreadful anxiety of feeling overwhelmed. Before we jump into that, I'm going to give some coaches shout-outs. So Mark Triplett, if you're watching this webinar recording, big kudos to you. Huge shout out from Coach Greg for being down 10 kgs and stabilizing both your blood pressure and blood sugar levels. Great work, sir. For Pat Redmond, Dan wants to give you a quick shout out this week for quote unquote dominating the process and not missing a beat. That's always good, Pat. And then one more here from Coach Gav to the legendary, Chris Clark. So since joining a few years ago, most of you have probably seen Chris on quite a few of these community calls. He's lost 77 pounds of fat in total and increased his lean muscle mass by 10 pounds. And he's currently in a hypertrophy phase and on the pursuit of gaining another 10 pounds of lean muscle. So great job, Chris. We can't wait to see your transformation, brother. Community wins. And accountability recap. So, a quick shout out to all the boys who crushed the weekly challenge last week. So, that would be Paul, Bill, Mike, Shalash, Robert, Mick, and John. Great work, lads. We love to see it and keep dropping your wins in there week by week. For any personal wins or perhaps any challenges that anybody wants to share, feel free to do so now. Or if you don't have anything really at the moment, feel free to shoot me any topics or challenges that you'd like for us to consider for future webinars. So you guys can shoot me that if you have my personal number, or you guys can always drop me an email at matia@muscleintelligence.com. We'd love to hear from you guys, and we'd love to really know, what are the hot topics that you want more of, or even just things that you want less of moving forward. Over to exciting events and upcoming opportunities for an in-person experience. So as I mentioned, the Muscle Camp is coming up on March 20th to the 22nd. It is going to be a 3-day event at the infamous MI40 gym in Tampa, Florida. If you guys haven't been there, it's a one-of-a-kind gym. Dan can attest to that. A couple guys on this call can certainly attest to that. It's a very unique environment that pushes you to be your best, to say the least. And that again is going to be on March 20th to the 22nd. Last time that I released this announcement for the previous camp, we pretty much sold out within the first 3 to 5 days. So you guys will want to secure your tickets as soon as possible. And you can do so on this link in the chat that I just dropped in there. You are more than welcome to also bring in a plus one or plus two if you'd like, as long as there's tickets available. And now for my shameless affiliate plug that you guys all appreciate so much. I'm going to give a quick shout out to our wonderful affiliates over at ATP Labs. So you guys may have seen some more recent content of ours where Ben talks about the benefits of Alpha GPC. And then even a few weeks ago, we had, I believe it was Greg, who mentioned L-tyrosine on a webinar. I believe that was like 2 weeks ago. It just so happens that our affiliates at ATP have a product called NeuroPrime, and it's actually one of my personal favorite products of all time. There's nothing that really like gets me more dialed in and focused prior to training the way that NeuroPrime does. And I think I shared that a few weeks ago with whoever attended that call. Fun fact for you guys, actually Ben helped formulate that product back in the days when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Don't tell him I said that. Hello. But as clients of our community, you guys get to save some moolah on anything you order from the website, and you guys will want to use code muscle 10 to save some money. And that again is for ATPLabs.com. There is a Canadian version of this website as well for anybody watching the replay if you are in Canada too. That's it for me, boys. I'm going to pass it over to the notorious Daniel Smith, and we'll go from there.
Thank you very much, brother. Welcome, guys, and to those of you guys that are listening. So, as you guys have seen from the chat today, we're going to have a look at overwhelm and, most importantly, how to use my favorite part of the tracker, the 16-hour audit, to great effect. So, everybody listening to this call, speaking to you specifically, Dale, after the tumultuous events of moving to Florida the last few weeks. Okay, everyone's experienced overwhelm, right? It's part of life. We are human. And essentially, kind of overwhelm is one of those things that we all encompass and kind of feel at some point in our life. So today's webinar is going to be talking about kind of a few different parts to it. So what the real problem is, in my opinion, around overwhelm, kind of what it actually looks like and kind of how it manifests itself and where we might find it. Then we're going to branch into the 16-hour audit framework and kind of, I've got a task for you guys that are watching, but also guy, you guys that are listening to this. If you haven't used the 16-hour audit, which you all should have now as part of your coaching, but if you haven't, I've created, or I'm going to talk you through a little framework that I'd like you to use just over the next kind of 5 to 7 days, which kind of ties nicely into everything we were speaking about with Greg, Max, and Gav last week in regards to goal setting. So what the 16-hour audit to do will do after today, it will hopefully highlight any blind spots, any areas of improvements that's required to, one, reduce the overwhelm, but two, to lean into your goals. The reason why I want to talk about overwhelm, because I had a client earlier on in the week and kind of is a busy businessman, kind of his highest values, he's done all the John DeMartini tests and those sort of things, but what he finds is he was just getting overwhelmed. So essentially, what he was doing was putting himself last. Training was falling away, nutrition was falling away. And we had an objective chat in regards to kind of how him training and his nutrition allows him to show up best as in regards to his highest values. So after doing the values test, he found out that family was his highest value. So throughout the week, obviously, he is part of a big business, very target-driven business. And essentially, those of you guys that have been in that sort of industry know you achieve your targets, the targets go up. So it's an ever-changing cycle of stress, essentially. But that coupled with obviously his family being his most important thing and wanting to be the best father to young children and to best wife to his wife, best husband to his wife, sorry. He was putting himself last. But what I explained to him was if he trains, he gets into the best position possible, he does all his cardio, that's going to improve his stress resiliency, but also it's going to allow him to show up in the best version of himself. So as a father, as a husband, as a employee, employer, kind of if he leans into kind of being relatively selfish, it's going to encourage the progression of his highest value. So that's where kind of today's topic came up and kind of just having a look at kind of how we navigate that. So kind of we'll look at the 16-hour audit and then we'll just look at kind of how to shift our identity and the things that we're looking at around overwhelm. So for me, starting off the realm of overwhelm, is kind of looking at something, the real problem. So for me, in my opinion, most men don't lack motivation. It's not a thing. You've heard me speak previously before in regards to motivation, how it's not a real thing in previous webinars. In my opinion, they simply lack clarity. Okay. And when that clarity disappears, overwhelm typically takes over. So in regards to how that manifests itself, again, in my opinion, it's people have too many competing priorities without any sort of hierarchy. So in essence, you're not overwhelmed because life is hard and being human and life only gets harder as things progress. Okay. You're overwhelmed or you feel like you're overwhelmed simply because of a few factors. Your time's going to be leaking, time and energy is going to be misallocated. Your standards and your set standards and your boundaries are very unclear. And most importantly, which I'm seeing a lot of at the moment when people are overworked and underrested, is their nervous system is fried. So growing up, I mean, I was never taught this. I wasn't the best at school, but kind of no one ever told you how to audit your life and how to put it in a presentable fashion that you can still show up in all areas. You've heard me speak about it before, and I'll speak a little bit further on in regards to the three areas of life: personal, professional, physical. Physical showing up for yourself in your physical manner. Professionals obviously your work life and your personal is your family. And although we cannot fill all those buckets equally at any one time, because that leads to kind of an overload of functional capacity, we can prioritize certain parts at certain times, which means that we don't have to sacrifice. The biggest thing I see often with men nowadays, everything goes into work, everything goes into the family, the training suffers, or everything goes into training and kind of everything else falls by the wayside. And what we want to do really from a longevity and a sustainability standpoint, we want to blend all those together where there's going to be certain times in the year you might have to push a little bit deeper into work if work's busy, but we still need to be making time for the other areas. So for me, overwhelm is typically, if we want to break it down to its simplest form, is just a full stress bucket, right? So kind of when it's full, even the smallest of stresses is going to spill over. And what happens when that sort of thing happens in your day-to-day life? So most men, if they're overstressed, they're going to wake up reactive. The first thing they're going to do in the morning is something like check the phone immediately. A big thing that I see often with my clients, and I try to instill, and Nat's on the call, so Nat knows this, is kind of morning structure. And most importantly, kind of I say is if you work in any sort of corporation and you don't work for yourself and your time's not your own, we have two areas of life that we can control that need to be kind of steadfast. The first 2 hours of your day, the last 2 hours of your day. Because if you set the first 2 hours of your day right, the rest of the day will go well. If you again do the last 2 hours of the day right, you're typically more often than not going to sleep well, which is going to facilitate the energy required to dominate the morning routine. Also, what other things happen when stress spills over? Nutritionally, people eat typically inconsistently, train randomly. A big thing in life nowadays is we've got a lot of yes men. Okay. You say yes far too often, and you don't have the capacity to identify your own boundaries. All of my guys that I work with, again, they hear me bang on about boundaries all the time. And sometimes it's seen as a negative, but ultimately, from a boundary perspective, I think it's knowing what you're willing to accept that doesn't kind of lead down a slippery slope of overwhelm. Because in today's society, everybody says yes far too often to too many things when they just know unconsciously that they haven't got the functional capacity to manage it all. And then to tag on to kind of checking the phone in the morning, doom scrolling at night is a big thing. I've got a couple of clients that love an Instagram doom scroll, but the reality is it's not serving them in any shape or form, which then leads into poor sleep. And then what happens after that? Internally and from a kind of internal dialogue, you tell yourself, I just haven't got time. Those of you guys who have heard me speak before have, again, heard me say a number of times, that's not a viable excuse in my coaching process. I never want to hear my guy, I will call bullshit straight away when somebody says they haven't got time, because we all get 16 hours in a day, and I've trained some of the busiest men on God's green earth, or businessmen that I've known that have still managed to get everything and still live well, eat well, train hard, be in great shape, show up for their families, and show up for their own professional life as well. The reality of this situation is it's not that you don't have time, you just don't have structure. And then what happens when you don't have structure? Kind of it takes away that freedom. So having structure creates freedom. Okay, so that's my kind of little bit around overwhelm, and just understanding that motivation typically will be temporary, and discipline also. In previous webinars, you've heard me speak about the science behind discipline from a brain neurochemistry standpoint, and your body will only rely so long on discipline because it needs to be autonomic. It needs to be kind of almost kind of unconscious, and do it by habit. Simply because when the stress bucket does become full, then we know that that discipline wanes, and that's the first thing to go. So how can we then start to kind of curate your guys' individual perfect day? So the 16-hour audit. So we know if you are getting your 8 hours sleep, those of you that are not sleeping 8 hours, you've got a little bit longer. So you might have 17 or 18 hours, which is even better. You essentially sleep 8 hours a day. You have 16 hours within any given day to build your body, build your business, and build the family. My question to you guys on this call today and listening to this call are, where are those 16 hours going? Okay, where are they going? And in order to facilitate finding out where they're going, if you can't answer it me kind of hour to hour on today's call, that's what we're going to go through now. So how the audit works, those of you that are on a track, which all of you should have your tracker. If you haven't got a tracker in play, then write down the hours you're awake. So if you get up at six, okay, six, seven, eight, nine, all 16 hours all the way through the day. Okay, so what I would like you to do is for 3 days in total, those of you who have already got a tracker in play, kind of it'd be great for you to refine what you're doing because I'm sure you haven't really looked at it properly since you started the process. So for 3 days, I want you to track every hour, okay? Not roughly, okay? Not just kind of put a section in regards to kind of work 8 till 4. That's too easy. I want you to track it exactly. So you break the day into 16 1-hour blocks, and what I would like you to do is assign each hour to one of these categories. So either deep work, admin or shallow work, training, family, recovery, distraction, commute, social media, eating, wasted or drift. So mentally wasted or drift. So I'm going to repeat those nice and slowly so that you guys can write them down. So deep work, admin or shallow work, training, family, recovery, distraction, commute, social media, eating, and wasted or drift. Okay. And I want you to use those categories, and for the next 3 days, kind of just populate a 3-day 16-hour audit to ascertain where your time is going. Okay. So with this 16-hour audit from a psychological perspective for yourself, I don't want any judgment. So if you look at tomorrow's audit, and you find out, oh my God, there's kind of loads of wasted and drift, there's loads of kind of distraction in there. That's fine. This is a no non-judgment kind of task. All we're trying to collate is data. Okay. Because in my opinion, those of you guys that work with me know I love data. Okay. Data removes emotion. So for me, just collating and understanding how your day's set and where your time is pressed is going to be super important to be able to kind of eliminate the clutter, go back to what I said at the start, kind of identify any blind spots, and most importantly, kind of start to pour in. I'm going to show you my tracker in a little bit because I've got my audit in a little bit because I have different audits for different days. But typically what we're going to see in a natural audit, and what I see very often, is the first 2 hours of the day, if people aren't training, there's a lot of distraction in there. There's a lot of rush. Okay. There's a lot of drifting. There's a lot of non-essential tasks. Again, in regards to the tracker itself, some of you will have kids and kind of it might be a school run and those sort of things. But what we want to be, what I typically see is a lot of distraction first thing in the morning, a lot of potential scrolling, a lot of non-essential time wasting, essentially, in those first few hours a day. Then typically you go off to work, where I believe, like for me, as I said to you, you can control the first 2 hours a day, you control the last 2 hours of your day. They're the most important part. People often use the excuse of work, I'm busy at work. Okay, but for me, the question around that, even if you work in a, let's say, a busy office job where you've got specific hours, you can still curate time throughout that day to focus on essential tasks. It may be breath work. It may be a focus on eating. It may be getting some steps in at lunchtime and being purposeful with your time in your breaks. So what we're trying to have a look at, and what I'd say with you guys is probably do a normal weekday if you have got a similar job but kind of takes over your Monday to Friday, and try to do a weekend as well, because we know that my phrase is every day is a Monday. My days don't really change too much, but kind of we know how patterns change when it comes into the weekend, and sometimes discipline wanes when other things take priority, i.e. visiting places with your children, with your family, etc., social events. But we can still curate an audit around that as well, which I'll talk to you about a little bit later on. So creating this 3 day audit, okay, in there's a couple of questions that I'd like you to ask yourself. So kind of in that one that I've typified in regards to what I usually see, I'd usually say, right, where does momentum exist? And the answer to that question quite often is nowhere really. A lot of kind of initial 16-hour audits I see when people come into the process is their day is typically very reactive. And it's non-linear. So kind of we're reactive to events that are happening rather than, as I said, having those boundaries and having our system set for success. We have a habit tracker to fill in at the end of the end of every day, which is great because it allows you to win the day. But what I'd like you to do is have a conclusive view of kind of you actually winning a day, and have I ticked off all the tasks? And as I've said to you kind of previously, for me, the most important thing is encompassing all areas of your life. It's not just work, it's not just training, it's family as well. So for me, I often say to a lot of my guys, kind of most of you guys are here, and you've heard me say it before, to be the patriarchs of your family, whether it be your children, your significant other, your friends, your family. We're all leaders on this call. We all come into this process and we want to be leaders. In order to be leaders, we have to act like leaders. And that is essentially for me, acting with structure and making sure that we've kind of got everything set and ready to go. So what I'm going to show you now, just to give you an insight into kind of how my crazy brain works, is I'm going to show you my 16-hour audit. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to show you kind of, I've got a couple of different iterations to mine. So I have a typical, I know I've said just a second ago, every day is a Monday, but my days don't change too significantly. Believe it or not, I do actually try to take a day off work, although I'm pretty much working most days. So hopefully you guys can all see that. So this is mine. So obviously my day starts at 5 p.m. and it runs straight through till kind of 9 p.m. typically. So this is an overview, but with you guys, I want you to be a little bit more specific so we can itemize a little bit more. So my Monday to Friday on my weekday, first thing in the morning, journal, coffee, morning routine, and sups. Okay, that's how my day starts pretty much every single day, Monday to Sunday. Even though I don't have to, and I tell this story to a lot of my clients, I work from home every day. My diary is my own. I can curate my time, but this is still essential for my brain to operate in its highest capacity. Alongside kind of everything that I have going on, it'd be very easy for me to waste time, and kind of curating my perfect days has been super important. Even though I have a lot of flexibility in my days, I know that if I allow a little bit of flexibility, my goals personally, physically, and professionally are always going to wane because you get into a comfortable habit. So even though I don't have to train at 7 a.m. every morning, I have most of the morning here in the UK because most of you guys are still asleep, except Nathaniel, he's just going to bed. I train because it's my routine. I know that training for me, what it gives me, what it presents me with in regards to my ability to dominate the first part and set my day right. So I'll train between typically 5:15, 5:30, and 7. Okay. Then obviously I've got my shake in there as well. Then typically I'll get back home, do my morning voice notes, video feedback, and I'll check in on my trackers with my clients. So it's very much kind of going over the stuff that I've received overnight from clients. So obviously sent me messages from the US, Canada, and further afield. And I'll get all that done in the first part of my day. So then obviously I take a little bit of a break because I believe from a, again, those of you that can, breaking work blocks into kind of 2 hour stints for me works perfectly. I'd always say have work blocks in 2 to 4 hours, okay, to make you more proficient. There's so many people that don't build in work blocks, like have work, even if you work in an office, you want to break it down into 2 or 3 work blocks. So work block one will be before your first break, for instance. Work block two will be after that first break before lunch, and then work block three may take you all the way through to kind of close time or when you log out. So kind of me 9:30 will be meal two, supplements, and then walk Saint, who's my dog. So I've even got a dog walk in here, so it's kind of militant. Then I have education and admin typically at the moment, because I do a lot of my admin here early on in the morning. This is pretty much 2 hours for education, because again, to perfect my craft, I know I need to continue to be better for you guys. So education takes up 1.5 to 2 hours of my day before I stop, have a break, decompress for half an hour, kind of meal three sups. After every meal, I'll typically go for a 10-minute walk to aid digestion. So meal three and sups for half an hour, get some fresh air and just get myself ready for my first work block, which will typically start around 12 p.m. Couple of hours of calls. Then again, kind of at some point between 2 and 3:30, typically I'll have a half an hour break, and this meal four may fluctuate. Again, same as meal three, eat, go for a walk, kind of take some breaths, calm my nervous system, get myself ready for work block two. That takes me through till typically around about 5 p.m. Then Saint's dinner, make sure she's fed. Then I have an hour of downtime. So for me, kind of this could include anything between, it might be cleaning up, it may be food prep. It will change on any given day depending on where how my week's looking. So I have an hour just to take back. Then I do meal five, same as meal four, in regards to kind of then going for a walk. I then pre-program, because typically my son will work kind of a couple of evenings a week, but on the days that it doesn't, kind of check in with him, spend an hour and a half with him. He'll typically come with us for a walk here at 8 p.m. because I'll walk the dog again at 8 p.m. But this is my family time. This is where kind of I lean into seeing how Tyler's day's been, what he's been up to. Kind of he's doing a lot of study at the moment, so talking over what he's learned today and just kind of micro planning in regards to that. Then I'll write my task list for the following day at 8:30 just to decompress my brain, because I know if I go to sleep with anything on my brain, because my brain runs at about 1,000 miles per hour, kind of I can't sleep very well because I'm always thinking, right, I've got to do this. So my brain stays very active. So I'll write my task list for the following day in regards to going a little bit more itemized into the calls and admin bit, the education, and then the voice notes and the feedback in regards to just making sure I've got everything set. And then I shut off at 9 o'clock, all my evening routine. So obviously no blue lights, kind of take all my supplements, kind of just make sure I'm getting myself ready for sleep between 9 and 10. And then I mean I get in bed typically around 9:30 and then asleep for, except tonight, 10 p.m. So that's how my Monday to Fridays look without fail. So as you'll see, I've got physical, which is my train, my walking, and obviously kind of my subs. I've got my professional, which is all my work stuff. And then I've got my personal, which is spending time with my son, is spending time with a dog who's pretty much like my daughter anyway. Those of you got animals, Dale, you'll understand. She is my other surrogate daughter. So kind of spending time. So I've got all facets of life in there, personal, physical, professional. And that's every single day. So I can pour into each one of those cups every single day. This might deviate if something pops up or I have to take Tyler somewhere or we go for lunch, etc. But again, I've got a skeleton. So as long as I've got control over it, I can make the choice whether that thing changes. So that's my weekday. Then, in regards to, let me just move this across. So Saturday, I'll typically take off. So Saturday is my day where I try to spend a little time away from my phone. Those of you guys that know me, I will sometimes play golf when the weather's not as terrible as it is here. But Saturday is typically where I take a bit of time back, watch some sport, mad sport, not but kind of not put as much focus on work. And then on a Sunday, it's exactly the same. So again, coffee morning routine, same as Monday to Saturday, walk the dog. I'll check all my programs early Sunday morning and do any final video feedback or WhatsApp support for the week to set everybody up for the week. And then I'll typically do anywhere, this works out anywhere between 4 hours to 6 hours of check-in Sunday morning. So those of you guys that work me know that you typically get a check-in response Sunday morning. This is where it's programmed into my diary. So I won't do them Saturday. The odd occasion, if I've got plans on Sunday, I will, but ultimately they get done on Sunday 9 times out of 10, which is, and my guys know when they're going to receive them. So, in regards to my week, I've got everything curated Monday to Friday. Saturday is a more flexible day, but still follows a lot of the principles that you see on a weekday, but everything's set in stone. And I'm not for a second saying to you guys that kind of your days are going to be like that, but what I'd like you to have is at least have a skeleton, at least have something that you can stick to 90% of the time that offers a little bit of flexibility. Because again, as we said, going back to the goals talk last week, it just allows you to continue to kind of be able to kind of manufacture the outcome. And I'm a big believer in kind of controlling what's in your control, and your time from a almost from a boundary perspective is important to you. Those of you guys who've got full-time jobs, you have to give some time to the man. I totally understand that. But most of us have a time to outside of that to be able to create a better version of self and just to every day be working towards stepping into that man that we want to become. So you'll see with my 16-hour audit compared to the one that explained where there's a lot of distraction, it's the same 16 hours, but most importantly, there's a different outcome. So, in my opinion, when it comes to overwhelm is typically going to disappear when you control your inputs, when you batch stress and kind of know where it's going to come in the day. Most importantly, you protect your energy. Okay, I'm a big believer in kind of I don't put myself in any rooms or any conversations that don't serve me. I use a phrase, and those of you guys that have big circles of friends and kind of see a lot of people and are socially energetic, I always say you guys will probably be able to tell me in each one of those groups who the energy vampire is. Who's a person that you talk to and you just feel drained? So I'm a big believer in protecting my energy and lucky enough, spending calls with you guys, get to speak to all my guys every day and speaking to the team most days. I only kind of really kind of have my energy kind of dictated by people that are doing good things, which is all you guys. So protecting your energy is the most important thing, one of the most important things. And then from a decision perspective, you reduce decision fatigue. The same premise as I've always said with nutrition, kind of we always struggle when you haven't got your food cooked. And I think I said this on the call last week. When you have to think what to eat, more often than not, you kind of choose the wrong thing. And for me, that's decision fatigue. Okay. So with the 16-hour audit, we're able to reduce that decision fatigue, which is going to be the most important, which makes you very clear and direct and objective with all the decisions you're making in a 16-hour a day. And the main thing from your own personal audit is I want you to ask yourself kind of four questions. So the four questions after tracking for 3 days are going to be, what gives me the most energy? Okay. Which part of a 16-hour audit, which drains me the most? Which parts of a 16-hour audit moves my life forward and helps me start to become the man that I want to be? And most importantly, which is just pure noise. And if you can kind of identify again within in a non-judgmental way, is which parts of that 16-hour audit serve you and which don't. And the ones that don't serve you, we want to eliminate. Okay. We want to get rid of. And can we change it and automate something slightly different? And for me personally, I'm not saying that you don't go on social media, but I have a 30-minute limit on both Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn a day. And the minute, as soon as my kind of 1 hour total is up with that, all the apps lock essentially, and I can go on them if I kind of override it, but I've taught myself to, and I failed at first. I taught myself to kind of, right, that's me done for the day. So what I'll build in is, as you see on my kind of 16-hour audit, social media time for me will be typically morning, and then a small slot in that 1 hour free slot that I have in an afternoon and an evening where I do food prep and those sort of things. That's typically where I'll go on social media. So you can be specific. It's not taking away everything. It's just being more precious with your time. Okay. And what you'll find with kind of doing this 16-hour audit, what you'll typically find is, on average, I've worked out that typically we waste anywhere between 1 and 3 hours a day. We can itemize pretty much 1 to 3 hours a day wasted. There's typically I'd say 5 or so micro distractions per hour with a lot of people that kind of I've gone into depth with this with. There's very infrequent protected deep work, so specific. So kind of setting time to do deep work where there's absolutely no distractions is vital, because you can get a day's work done in the space of 3 or 4 hours if you are very specific with kind of the deep work. Okay. So kind of typically I'll say that often see there's no protected deep work and also no structured recovery. So recovery wants to be a part of everything, and making sure you're itemizing a great sleep hygiene. Which is, again, if we're hitting all these things, we've got great sleep hygiene, we're hitting our cardio, we're to our training, what we're building is we're building stress resiliency. So most importantly, as I said right at the start of the talk, we don't, in my opinion, we don't need more time. We just need better time allocation and being more specific about where we allocate that time. Okay. And it's kind of looking at it from an identity perspective, and looking at, if we wanted to kind of paraphrase it as an identity shift, kind of overwhelm, as I've said, is never a time issue. It's also a leadership issue. And everyone in this group have come into this group and the men's collective to be leaders, right? Okay, so I'm of a big opinion, you either lead your day or the day leads you. There's disparity between the both of them. You either lead the day or the day leads you. When we feel in control as men, okay, what I like, and personally, this is my personal opinion, is I like to train first thing in the morning. If you're not training first thing in the morning, you don't have the capacity to, at least schedule it for a specific hour of the day and you don't miss. Okay, that's super important. Protect sleep. So great sleep hygiene, having a really good evening routine, which we've spoke about on calls before, and making sure you're diligent with that. It might be no blue light, it might be room temperature, it might be breath work, it may be SUPs, it may be journaling, whatever suits you. Protect sleep at all costs, because in my opinion, there's no such thing as overtraining, there's only under recovery. Another big thing that, again, Nat, I'll always laugh because this is something I always say to him, is schedule family time intentionally. When that's so important, kind of not everybody's got families, but if you have got families, schedule it in. I say to a lot of my guys that are married, I say, right, I want you to put your wife in your diary at a certain time for an hour. Well, obviously, don't tell her that she's in your diary and this is the time that you're supposed to be speaking to her, but be intentional with it. And she will feel valued, she'll feel heard, she'll feel understood, which nourishes that relationship, which ultimately they're going to be your biggest supporter. So on this journey, you need the support of family and friends. So scheduling family time intentionally is going to be super important. Another one that we could look at is something like batching communication. So with your working blocks, basically, if you've got a load of calls or emails and those sort of things to do, and you're a type of person that has emails coming out through the day, be specific. Have an hour, maybe mid-morning, where you go through all your emails, you respond. You do the same in an afternoon. So you're essentially batching that communication, which stops kind of you panicking and becoming overwhelmed when emails come through and you think, oh God, I've got a message that right away. Be specific. The same as I do with voice notes and video feedback. I batch it into certain timings because it reduces that overwhelm. So when I see it, my phone will ping all afternoon as guys in the US start to wake up, but I don't stress about it because I know I've got a specific time allotted to get back to everybody. And then most importantly, men who feel in control know their top three priorities daily. And that's where your habit tracker comes in. Filling in that habit tracker and knowing your priorities for that day. Obviously, we use five, is going to be key to you feeling in control. So essentially, it's becoming unshakable and kind of really reducing stress, because when your day's structured, what from a physiological standpoint, okay, so we've spoke about the mechanical and how we'd structure it, but what's that going to do physiologically? Okay, it's going to calm that nervous system. It's going to allow you to create that kind of control of the arousal state that Ben always speaks about, which is super important, being able to control that arousal state. Natural testosterone and those sort of things could potentially improve. Okay, that you build a lot more stress resiliency, but most importantly, that stress bucket shrinks and it doesn't become as overwhelming. And then when your stress is reduced, obviously natural confidence is going to kind of appear and you're going to feel in control. And there's nothing more powerful than the man that feels in control. So clarity builds power. Power builds certainty. Certainty is most definitely going to eliminate overwhelm. So for me, just having a look at kind of that 16-hour audit and the preference of that is going to be super important. So again, to reiterate, kind of for the next 72 hours, what I'd like you guys to do, track 16 hours and kind of have a very objective look at kind of how your day looks every hour. No excuses, kind of don't just write a word in there. Kind of take your time to be specific. And again, the biggest limitation people are going to say, listen to this, I don't have the time. As I said to you earlier, I see there's a little girl on the call, so I won't use my British tongue. Okay, I'll just say that's not factually true rather than what I want to say. So again, we've all got time. Okay, so no excuses. So remember, all we're looking for is just data. Okay. And then I want you to ask yourself a question. Is this how a high-performing man lives? Okay. If not, you have the tools, you have the strategy to fix it 1 hour at a time, because the reality is kind of how I look at it. And from a goal-setting perspective, I told you last week that I'm very bad at projecting. I'm not good at looking a year, 2 years, 5 years. I know roughly where I want to be, but I find it very difficult to be specific. That's simply because how I believe life is, life's not built in years. It's essentially built in 6 hours, 6 hour days. I said to Nat a couple of weeks ago, kind of as he was getting back in after I had a little bit of a struggle with busy work and overwhelm over the last couple of months, own the day. That's a phrase that I live by. Don't look any further than today. Just focus on today and operate in the way that you know you bet you can. And eliminate distractions and just start to itemize. And not for a second am I saying that kind of this is how your day is going to be perfect every single day for the rest of your life, because it's absolutely not. But when disruption does find itself into your life, you've got a structure, you've got a strategy, you've got an operating system to circumnavigate the challenges without it kind of leading to a higher allostatic load, which in turn is going to kind of send things tanking. And ultimately, from a psychological perspective, just feel bad about yourself, because when we don't train, if we haven't stuck to what we want to stick to, what happens psychologically? We beat ourselves up. We use negatively tinged language. We kind of how we talk to ourselves from an internal dialogue is just not necessary. Whereas we can eliminate that and have a operating system that works, and kind of it's knowing that. It doesn't just have to be one operating system. You saw with me, I have my Monday to Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday. Okay, you could have an operating system for when you're at home, when you're traveling with work. We did this with Dale when he was traveling in his last job, is an operating system for work, an operating system for holiday, and some non-negotiables you stick to. So you can have a skeleton for every area of your life. So if one of my client's excuses is, oh, I travel a lot and my days aren't the same. I work days, sometimes I work nights. So with Pat Redmond, Pat works sometimes days and he sometimes works nights with the nature of his job. So all we did when he first came into the process is we had eating windows, and operationally, when he is shifting from days to nights, we just had an operating system that looks different on a day shift than it does on a night shift. And taking the time to curate these and just have these at hand. So again, it reduces that overwhelm and most importantly, allows you to be specific, detailed to your own individual life and just be able to get more out of every day. Because the reality is we all have the same 16 hours, and the person that you look up to, the person that inspires you, the person, people potentially throughout your life that kind of you may look at and be like, oh, and we've all done it, the art of comparison, right? Oh, I wish I could operate like, and you can. They've just got an operating system and a structure that works for them. And you guys can all have that as well. So that's pretty much it in regards to my thoughts about overwhelm. So I'll open the floor to questions if anybody wants to kind of give me an insight into kind of their operating systems, kind of where they feel they may struggle a little bit that I can help them with on this call today. Or any questions at all, the floor's open. So let's hear from you if any of you guys have got any questions. Unmute yourself, Nat, and tell me what you're struggling with, because I know you're not sticking to your 16-hour audit at the moment, please, sir. And you're laughing because you know it's true.
Yeah, laughing because I know it's true.
Yeah.
Ah, dear. Yeah, excuses. No, so my young one's just gone. I'm just going to shut a window here. We're making a few changes in the business. I just need to rejig my whole day, basically. I think Dan might have mentioned before some things about days aren't linear and that sort of stuff. So every day's kind of different. So biggest thing is actually sitting down and doing my audit. But when you say do it, it's being a lot more specific. So Dan had some things in his that he outlined, and filling in some of those spots, not just going, oh yeah, that's my work block for 3 hours, or that's my learn block or education or whatever it might be, but saying that's what it is, and then setting up what I'm actually learning or going to learn, or time that I spend with my wife and my kids. So
Don't tell Jen she's in your 16-hour audit. We keep that a secret from her, mate, please. I don't want her
yeah,
shouting at me on her calls.
some of that stuff. So Jen and I have a board game that we play weekly that we do that's in there. And then I'm making sure that I've got 15 minutes with the kids, but it's each child. So it's, and that's before dinner. Just some of those things to make sure that it's actually in there, and it's like, oh, no, doesn't matter what I'm kind of doing. It's like, okay, that stops, and now I go and start whatever the next activity
And
is,
obviously just
knowing
give the
that
guys on the
tomorrow.
call, just give the guys a call and insight. Because obviously when you started, we set you one up, didn't we? Like, because just to give you guys some background, and I know Nat won't mind me saying this, obviously Nat's a restaurateur, so obviously his working hours are wild, all different shift. He might have to cover shifts for people that don't turn up for work. Then he's in the office doing all the orders, etc. He's got a busy family life as well. But what we did for Nat when he first started was we had a Monday to Sunday, and every single one of those audits were different. The Monday through Sunday, we had 7 days, all every single one was totally different. But give the guys that obviously may not have done this yet, Nat, and it's just great that you're on this call. When we did that, how did that, because you're typically someone that's very easily stressed, gets overwhelmed a little bit quicker just because you've got so many things running through your brain. But when you had that kind of audit in place, kind of how did it make you feel? When you had control, I know we need to rejig it with the changes that have happened recently, but kind of when you had that audit in, how did that make you feel in regards to your own overall control?
When I stuck to it, when I actually stuck to it, so there was a period there for maybe 6 months. I was pretty solid, and that's when training was really good as well. That's when my nutrition was really good. That's when I got heaps of stuff done in the business. Because your stress is down.
Operationally, all across the board, you was just much better. And lo and behold, kind of you got the results that you got, right? So kind of as we've always said, and as I say to you guys on the call, like, this stuff doesn't lie. It's very easy to do. We rebel against these sort of things because we're like, oh my God, it takes time, it's long. But you get this into play, guys, and I'm telling you, kind of this will change how you operate. And I'm very easily stressed, as you guys know. The jokes in the group, I don't smile much. Yes, I know. But ultimately, what it just allows me to do is create time. And I'm a big believer in life that kind of the only thing that we can't get more of in life, that once it's gone, is time. Okay, and that might be time for yourself, for your family, to experience things, kind of. So for me, just leaning into this is going to be big for you guys that haven't done it, and just try it. Okay, the worst that can happen, you try it, you don't like it, but I promise each and every one of you guys on this call, listen to this call, it won't take your life in a negative direction. It's only going to enhance everything that you guys are doing and kind of make you more efficient, which again, time efficiency for all you guys on here that are busy is always a faux pas for a lot of men. The biggest thing that men haven't got in today's society that are busy and successful is time. So it allows you to, as Nat said, just take time back and just be able to kind of pour into the things and having hobbies. Like, there's so many guys that I talk to that I ask them, what do you do for fun? What are your hobbies? Okay, and they're like, well, nothing. I work, I come home, I sort the kids, we eat food, we go to bed. Like you heard Nat say there, and I love it. It was on a bit of a losing streak, I don't mind telling you guys, last year. But kind of the board game night, like pouring into that is like it's great. Kind of for me, it's watching sport. I love watching sport. I love watching Chelsea, not very good because it annoys Max massively. I'm an Arsenal fan, but I love sport. So I build time in my diary on a Saturday typically to watch some sport. So you should never have to forego the things that you enjoy because you're too busy. You can find time as long as you kind of attribute the and optimize your time most importantly. So any other questions, guys, before we wrap up this evening? No. Did you guys all enjoy? Did it ring a bell with some of you guys? Kind of, did you enjoy it? Kind of, is a bits from that tonight that you can take away? Good. Good. Right. So, kind of in closing, do you want to say anything more, Mats, in closing? No. So, as I always say at the end of these calls, guys, obviously, if you have any questions, I know I speak very fast, I'm British, so forgive me. But any questions come up, you have any struggles setting up your 16-hour audit or kind of understanding where it is and how it works, again, message your coach. If you don't want to message your, well, typically you'll message your coach, but if you need any more input from me, kind of again, similar to Matt's, my email is just coachdan@muscleintelligence.com. Feel free to drop me a message if you want any kind of further insight into it or you want me to kind of help you anymore. But any questions, those of you guys that are on here, those of you guys that are listening, as I always say, kind of my door's always open. So spend the next few days kind of tying everything up and going through the things that we spoke about today, see how you get on. And then next time I'm on a call, which will be in a couple of weeks after Greg and Gav, I believe, I've took the names of those of you guys that are here. Okay. And I'm gonna pull you out and see how you're getting on with your 16-hour audit as well. So just try it, see how you get on, and let's attack. Alongside the goals webinar last week and this week, let's kind of get our strategies inlaid and let's dominate the rest of February and the rest of your time that you guys are with us. But as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you for spending your time, your precious time with me today, the hour, and anything you need, brothers, just give me a shout. But take care. I'm off to bed. Have a lovely day, evening, night, wherever you are in the world, and I'll speak to you all again.